The Asian guy that brought a basketball to your wedding?
Oh, yeah, he
Oh
was
my
there.
God. What's his name?
Tim.
Tim,
Yes,
I
Tim.
know Tim. Who did Tim marry? I think I know the girl that he married.
Faye.
Yeah, I know Faye.
Faye's super chill.
Does
Yeah,
anyone
I
make
know
Tim a
F
Faye jokes?
Timothy.
Yeah. No,
No.
I know Faye because I saw her at your wedding, and I'm like, I went to Taekwondo with this girl for like 3 years.
Wow, Taekwondo,
Yeah, way back in the day.
Oh no.
Yeah.
You can kick some ass then, huh?
Ooh, if I remember my patterns and break some wood, yeah, sure.
That is quality podcast material right there.
Oh my God. Sorry, I'm watching the game.
Yeah, I hope you're recording just
I'm
so
recording
like you
all
can
of
get that
this.
one clip. Oh my God.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line we have my pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
Yeah, it's been a shitty week.
You okay?
I mean, my guy Luka's not going to be playing anytime soon, and now I don't have to get tickets to the Raptors game against them. So, it sort of sucks.
You can still see Seth Curry.
Yeah. And Jalen Brunson. Hooray.
Hey, my guy. Banger in the paint, Rajan Bolia. How you feeling?
Yeah, I'm also sad about Doncic's injury, but you know what? We almost have Christmas Day basketball, and that's exciting in itself.
Is it really? Do you watch all the games? Or try to watch them all?
Well, I think on Christmas, especially like after like the morning festivities, if you like celebrate Christmas, like there's at least one or two games that end up being interesting, and obviously the Lakers Clippers should be fun. Celtics versus Raps and Milwaukee versus Philly, like there's some good matchups.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch Houston at Golden State or New Orleans at Denver. All right, well, let's get started. You guys already alluded to this earlier. We got to talk about Luka, right? This guy, it was Saturday night. Is that right? Against Miami? Not even 10 minutes, like 5 minutes into the first quarter, sprains his ankle, hobbles off, left on his own accord, which is good. But I think we're looking at what, like a week or two injury for this? High, not a high ankle sprain, but like a mid to low ankle sprain.
Yeah, they said he might be back in a couple of weeks, and knowing him, he wants to get back as soon as possible because he's super competitive. So chances are, he'll be back within 2 weeks, I think. But they're going through like a really tough stretch right now. They're playing all the top East teams the next 5 games, and the first game they actually came back against Miami. They probably should have won that game, but they made some mistakes at the end, the fourth quarter, on their big comeback, and then Miami took over in overtime. And then today they actually beat the Bucks, or they're going to beat the Bucks anyway. As we're recording this, they're up, so it's quite a surprising turn of events. They're a really good road team. I think they're 10-2 right now.
On the road, seriously?
Yeah,
That's incredible.
Rick
Especially for a t
Carlisle, magician.
Wow. 10-2. Wow, no kidding. That's good,
Yeah,
man.
and especially with like the game they had tonight against Milwaukee on the road without Doncic, like I think most people are expecting Milwaukee to blow them out like by like 15 to 20, and they beat a team that's what won 18 in a row. And that was impressive. Like if you ask a casual NBA fan, like name three players on the Mavericks that aren't named Luka Doncic, I think most fans would struggle.
Steve Nash is still on that team, right?
I was gonna say, if you don't name Boban, then you're not a real fan.
Man, no one's gonna think of Boban, let's be real.
Now, come on. I mean, after the part he played in John Wick, how can you not?
Yeah, I think you're thinking of Steph's brother before Boban, to be honest.
No, get out of here. You crazy.
Yeah, man,
Boban's
for
a Hollywood star. What has Seth Curry done? He's the brother of another superstar. Whoop-dee-dee.
Did Boban play tonight? How many minutes do you think Boban is averaging this year?
I'm gonna go with 8.
I'm gonna say 5. There's a lot of do not play coaches decisions in there.
Those don't count though, right?
Yeah, I mean that's true. Boban has made an appearance in 10 games out of 25.
Actually, I'm gonna go with 12.
13.1.
Hey.
So when he plays. But usually doesn't play.
He put some crazy, per minute stats up though. Like when he gets in the game in like, 12, 15 minutes, he's putting up like 12 points, 8 rebounds.
Yo, he is the epitome of garbage time player right now. The last five games that he's played in, the final scores are 130 to 84, 114 to 100, 114 to 99, 143 to 101, and against your Golden State Warriors, 142 to 94. My man is just eating buckets against bench units. Like, not normal bench units, but like deep, deep bench units.
I mean, the guy's living the dream, right? He gets to be at the end of the bench, doesn't really have to exert himself too much, gets Hollywood roles. He's doing all right. So.
I guess so. All right, so after tonight, or so we're recording on Monday night, just so everyone knows. So after Milwaukee, Dallas has Boston at home in Dallas, and then they're on the road in Philadelphia and Toronto.
Yeah, I think there's a stat that came out that their schedule, they play the top five teams in the East like five games in a row. And I think it would have been nice for Dallas to see how they measure up against teams in the East. But if you ask me before the injury, when would be a good time for Luka to get injured? I think this stretch of the season wouldn't be the worst because you're playing teams that you probably won't face in the playoffs. And they're teams that are difficult wins. Like it would suck if Dallas lost Doncic when they were playing like Sacramento and the Phoenixes or like even Memphis. Like those are games that become tougher, but with Doncic, they're like a walk in the park.
Wait,
I think it'd be the opposite, isn't it?
you'd
Because,
rather lose your superstar when you're facing hard teams?
well, like those games are not like givens, and of course you want to compete and win those games and show what you got, but you also want to beat the teams you should beat. And when Doncic is there, it's like a automatic. When he's not, I think those games become a lot more competitive.
I think the only good thing to come out of this is now they're integrating Porzingis more in the offense, which might help them later on as the season rolls on, especially in the playoffs, because their current offense, it features a lot of guys, obviously, especially off the bench where there's a bunch of different ball handlers that come in on a night-to-night basis. Sometimes it's Jalen Brunson, sometimes it's Seth Curry, Delon Wright. But in the playoffs, you're gonna need like guys who are consistent producers. And, Porzingis hasn't really performed thus far this season on the offensive end, and defensively he's really good. But, now that Luka's out, he gets his opportunity to be New York Porzingis.
Who else do you think will step up for the team? Because they need more than just Porzingis to be like the superstar, right? Like everyone's got to contribute, but you usually have one or two guys who really step up if the team's going to do well, at least.
I mean, with the way that Rick Carlisle's running his rotation, it's just whoever's hot that night, right? I mean, Jalen Brunson's starting now, and he's played well the last two games. And I've always liked his game. Like, he's just solid. Like, he just makes good decisions. He can pretty much make most shots on the court. And I think he's a better overall player than DeLon Wright, but DeLon's better in certain situations when they play against, like, bigger guards, because he's a bigger guard himself, and he can guard those guys. But ultimately, I think it's, whoever's hot, because JJ Barea hasn't even had his moments this year too.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he's come in a couple games and put up like, Boban stats as a guard. He comes in, plays 12 minutes, and he's got 12 points.
In garbage time?
No, he's actually like at times when the Mavs are really struggling, like Carlisle's go-to thing is to play JJ Barea. It's happened like
No,
at
no,
least
no.
4 times this season.
No, this is not like 2 years ago. You can't say that about JJ Barea
It's
in
happened, man. I've
2019,
watched the
2020.
games. I've watched almost all their games, and it happens not frequently, but whenever they're in the rut, they bring him in. He runs his little pick and roll, and he, takes crazy pull-ups and oftentimes hits them.
That's wild. I did not expect to hear that.
He's basically Eddie House at this point.
Yo, Eddie House, what a throwback name.
Yeah.
I like that.
Raptor killer, Eddie House.
Everyone's a Raptor killer, man. That's not fair. You know
I think
that.
the one question with this team, though, is how active they're going to be at the trade deadline. Because, in the offseason, there's not a lot of free agents, like everyone knows, and there's not a lot of ways to improve your team unless you make a trade. So are they going to wait till the offseason to possibly do that, or are they going to try to go for it?
No, they're definitely
I see.
waiting, man.
Yeah, I see a lot of comparisons between this team and Miami, though. Like, both excellent coaches, both have like really one superstar. Obviously, Dallas has Porzingis, but he's just waiting to get readapted to pre-injury Porzingis. But the teams are very deep. Like, they don't really have like that set rotation that we talked about on the last podcast. But they go with who's hot, who's a better matchup. I think we also mentioned last week that like Gallinari is an option for Dallas. Like, you'd be an interesting fit there, and also maybe even a player like Marcus Morris, because he's probably going to be on the trade market, and they could use just a bit more shooting, someone who can create his own shot. And Marcus Morris is somehow the best spot up shooter in the NBA, as we talked about last podcast. So I think Dallas has areas where they can improve, and they're not going to be forced to make that decision because no one really expects them to make it far in the playoffs. But I can see them making a trade just to add one more piece.
What if they tried to make a run at Iguodala? You trade Courtney Lee and anything and anyone else just to fill the salary?
And you probably have to give away a first.
Yeah, which Dallas has, like, at this point should have no problem doing though, right?
Yeah,
You've they're
already
not
got
going
your
to give
core
a
set up.
first for Iguodala. That's not happening.
You don't think so? What about a second?
Yeah, a second for sure, or maybe even 2 seconds, but a first, there's no way. If they were going to give up a first for him, it would have happened already. That's the reason
Yeah.
why he's still in Memphis, just chilling. Or not in Memphis, but still
At
technically on the
home.
team. Yes, wherever home is, somewhere in the Bay.
Yeah. That's interesting. I don't know, man. I don't think they're gonna do anything at the deadline. I don't think this
I don't think
deadline's
they're
gonna
going
be
to be.
popping.
I don't think so, but I think there's going to be a few players moving. I think Danilo's almost guaranteed to leave OKC unless like no one's really offering anything, because he's on a good expiring contract for a team that's hoping to make a deep run in the playoffs, and he fits a lot of needs for a lot of teams. Like, he's a player that shoots, he's very efficient, he's not ball dominant, so I think he's an interesting player.
I don't think he fits in the Mavs though, because Luka plays extremely well with Dwight Powell, so I think Powell's going to start the rest of the year. And I don't think Danilo would be a good fit, a small forward there, because Finney Smith's been really good on defense. They would just sort of mess with their chemistry. So I think he's going to go to a team like Portland or Phoenix, where he's just a better fit overall.
Also, it would be like the whitest team.
Yeah.
I don't think they would want that white of a starting lineup, man. That's not enough athleticism.
Add
Yeah, that's
Steve
true.
Nash.
All right.
Utah used to own that moniker, but yeah, I guess Dallas is making a run for it now.
Yeah, man. You can't have that. That's why they need Dorian Finney-Smith.
And Jalen Brunson, he's light skinned, you know.
I mean, DeLon Wright?
Yeah, true.
There you go. We got this. All right, let's move on. Another unfortunate injury that we should address at some point. Rodney Hood is definitely out for a year, right? Like,
Yeah, he's
popped it.
gone.
Was it his Achilles that was popped? What do the Blazers do now? The Blazers have been awful this year, to be honest. I think everyone had them as like a solid playoff team, maybe not like a legit contender, but no one thought they were going to be this far out of the playoff hunt. I mean, they're 11th right now in the West, and there's just no continuity on this team. Like, it looks like it's just Dame. Obviously, Melo's out there doing his thing, and then CJ McCollum occasionally contributes, but he's been relatively quiet all year. And their defense has been so shaky that they have just been awful this year to watch.
Yeah, I've seen actually a decent amount of Portland games, not because of my choosing, just because they end up being a lot of the only night games, and I just put it on. I think Dame, especially this year, has been really trying to get others involved because he's not trying to shoulder the load for 82 games and then have to do it in the playoffs. And also teams are clamping down on him and getting the ball out of his hands and kind of doing the New Orleans treatment from 2 years ago. And especially with Zach Collins and Nurkic going out and Whiteside, his game being very limited, I think they really do miss that defensive continuity, because last year they were very good at home, and I would say they had Harkless, Aminu, Nurkic for most of the year, and Collins. Like, they had players that knew their roles, and I think they will get better as the year goes on. I don't see them not being a playoff team. And surprisingly, Melo's been pretty consistent. He is a volume player, but he's been consistent, and he's actually a fit there, and hopefully they make him
consistently bad.
Hey,
on defense.
Hey, relax.
Yeah.
There will be no Melo slander here, okay?
He's still like way above, like below average in terms of efficiency. Like, I know he's putting up some stats, but he still sucks.
Man, you're just a hater. You just don't like Melo.
That's really what anybody don't... says who's actually a Melo fan, to respond to how he's playing. I know it's hard to let go and realize the fact that one of your favorite players sucks, but it is what it is. It's like when Iverson went to the Grizzlies.
What do you think he's averaging this year? Like, his percentages?
I don't know, but like maybe 43% from the field and 32% from three. I don't know.
41.5 and 39.6. His 3-point percentage is pretty good.
Yeah, that's not going to last.
I think it will. Why wouldn't it?
Because he's finished.
No, man, he's legitimately playing himself into shape. Like, you could see the progression of how he's become more comfortable on the floor from the first game until now.
Yeah, he's still very a huge liability defensively. But I think he gives Portland something they've actually been needing for a couple of years in terms of just like another scorer. Because I think last year that was their big problem against Golden State. Like, they had several leads, and obviously Golden State wasn't putting their foot on the pedal, but they just need another scorer, someone who can put the ball in the basket, can manage to get you 12 points roughly a night. And I think Melo does that. And it'll be interesting to see when Nurkic comes back and hopefully Zach Collins, to see how that all works. He might be put back into a bench role. And I think if he comes off the bench, that might not be a bad fit for him for at least this year.
I feel like we're just going through the same thing as what we did with OKC.
What do you mean?
Yeah, if he comes off the bench, it'll be fine. Then he gets waived.
No, Melo?
Houston, my bad.
No, Melo's not getting waived. Come on.
No.
You should know better than that. Melo's not going to get waived. There's too much hype around him now.
Yeah, it is, you know, his contract got guaranteed now, so probably not.
Yo, he's averaging 16-6.
Mm. On, like, not the worst percentages for a team that really, like, besides CJ and Dame, what is the third option for Portland? Like, who can consistently give you 12 points?
Mario Hezonja.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, man. This Portland's offseason was pretty awful. Like, we obviously didn't think of it that much at the time, but letting go of Harkless, Aminu, and I hate to say it, but Evan Turner. Like, all these Jake things Layman. Contribute to how bad their defense is now. Like, they are awful on defense. The offense is one thing, fine. We're obviously going to see Dame having to, like, shoulder the load, but, you know, that's not anything that he's foreign to. But last year, at least, he had Aminu and Harkless to help him out on defense, or to cover for him on defense. Now, he's just going to get blown by. Dame's a small guy, man. He's not going to be able to defend bigger guards. I don't know. And Whiteside is not very good. Whiteside is no Nurkic, obviously.
Yeah, but
they're too small and they're too slow. That's what it comes down to.
Yo, did they ever think that Zach Collins was the answer? Why is Zach Collins being injured such a big deal?
Just because he helped
the heart of their defense, honestly.
Like, actually?
Actually, he was really good in the playoffs, too.
I remember he was good, but I wouldn't say, like, how is he the heart of the defense?
Well, considering they didn't have Nurkic, right? Last year they needed a big, and he's actually a pretty mobile center with his size, and he's not the worst on the perimeter. And I think he doesn't need the ball to be effective, which is something that Portland, especially being so guard heavy, they need a big like that. I'm not saying Whiteside needs the ball a lot either. It's just I think Whiteside has a lot of gaps in his games, as we know.
But they were relying on Zach Collins to anchor a defense with Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and Hassan Whiteside. Like, this sounds like an awful idea, right?
Yeah, like, I think Nurkic coming back would have been huge. Like, they would have had a very, very deep lineup, like, in center, like, with Nurkic, Whiteside, and Zach Collins being able to play all the, like, all three of them being able to play the five. I think it's hard to judge this team until Nurkic comes back, because he's such an important player for them. And I think Melo's a nice addition, and who knows, they might be active and they might try to get rid of that Whiteside contract, although I think it's very hard to trade like an extra, what, $30
million? Nobody's taking that contract, man.
Yeah.
And Nurkic isn't going to be back until like March, right?
I heard January, if I'm not wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's no way that's happening.
He said today he's at like 60%. So.
Yeah, and plus, like, when he starts playing, he's only going to play, like, 15, 20 minutes a game, so he's not going to solve anything. This season for them is a wash. Like, they're going to be a lottery team. Hopefully they get a good pick. And then, you know, once their guys are healthy next year, they'll have a pretty good team. I mean, having Collins and Nurkic in the front court is a really good defensive front court to go with their back court. They just have to find a three-man, which has been their problem since forever. They're like the new Clippers, you know? They just never have a small forward.
The new Clippers. Oh, dear.
That was the Clippers' problem. They always had four guys, and they just couldn't figure out who to play as a fifth. It was either Austin Rivers or Jamal Crawford. And
yo, show Matt Barnes some respect.
Matt Barnes, ESPN, on, co-host of The Jump.
Okay. What a reference. All right. Are we done? I'm done ripping on the Blazers, if you guys are. Okay, I guess I'll take that silence as I move on.
Yeah, they're trash like Melo.
Man, this Melo slander is so unnecessary. Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. Josh, can you tell me why the Milwaukee Bucks are so damn good, except for tonight against the Dallas Mavericks, who they lost to?
Because they have the new Shaq. It's basically what it comes down to. And even though they're winning a bunch of regular season games, it's not going to matter in the playoffs. They're still going to bow out come conference finals time, I think. And they should have kept Brogdon.
You are so salty tonight, man.
I have to be. I mean, Doncic is out. I'm in a bad mood.
Jesus.
The Raptors went a long losing streak for them. They lost to a bunch of good teams. You know, I'm not in a great mood right now. But honestly, it's the truth, right? I mean, they shouldn't have extended Bledsoe. They should have let him go, and they should have re-signed Brogdon for whatever the hell he wanted. And even despite, you know, giving Bledsoe all that money, they should have just given Brogdon the money anyway and pay the tax. Because they'd be the championship, you know, the favorites this year, I think, if they were able to re-sign Brogdon.
Yeah, why did they sign Bledsoe so early in the year last year? I never understood that.
That signing is it's a bit confusing, especially because Bledsoe is very inconsistent. Like, he's good defensively, and no one doubts that. But like, in terms of a league that depends so much on point guard play, like, he's suspect.
Yeah, I mean, if he was fine in the playoffs that year, then sure, give him an extension. But since he was awful, you'd think that they would just, you know, play it out, see how he played in the next postseason, and then judge it based off that. And they didn't do that, and he was terrible again in the postseason. And Brogdon was really good in the postseason. And now he's showing himself to be like one of the better, you know, point guards in the NBA now.
Yeah, it's really sad when you're getting ripped by Scary Terry 2 years in a row.
Yeah, honestly. And, imagine Brogdon, Giannis two-man game come conference finals time. Like, they almost beat the Raptors. They probably should have beat the Raptors. And this year, there's not as much competition in the East, I don't think, in terms of high-level teams.
Whoa, did you
Oh,
say
whoa,
they
whoa,
should
whoa,
have
whoa.
beat the
Back up.
Raptors?
They should have beat. They were up 2-0, and in the third game, they were up for a lot of the game, and they lost in double overtime. So they go up 3-0 in that series. It's pretty much over, right? They were pretty damn close to beating the Raptors.
Wow.
They were.
You know what's funny? You ask anyone like remotely close to that organization and they would have said the Philly series was much harder than the Milwaukee series. Obviously because it
Well, I
went to
think it's,
seven, but
yeah.
still.
Yeah, but I
No, I
think
mean,
the
in terms of
Raptors.
physicality, for sure. I mean, it was a much tougher series to play Philadelphia because they're so damn big. But, Milwaukee had them on the ropes.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if Milwaukee does make a move, but I agree completely with Eric Bledsoe being a questionable signing last year. But this year's Milwaukee team, like although they have roughly the same stats, they're blowing teams out of the water. I don't think they were as good as last year's team. And I kind of disagree with what you said, Josh, in terms of the East not having as many competitive teams this year, because I think this year there's like a solid 1 to 5 in the East, and like depending on injuries, depending on matchups, depending on who's hot and if there's any trades made, like I think Milwaukee is the front runner, but I don't think they're as dominant as they were last year. And I think Philly's gotten a lot better. They're more ready for the playoffs. I think Boston's definitely a bigger threat. Miami's obviously come out of nowhere, a dark horse, and I think the Raptors still have to be respected just given their experience last year and depending on if their veterans stay on after the trade deadline.
I said high-level teams. I think that the top three in the East last year is better than the top three this year.
Top three being Philly,
Milwaukee, Toronto.
Milwaukee. Okay. I think you know what I can say? I can say yes, I agree with the top three being better, but I think the competition this year from 1 to 5 is better. Like it's like they're not like out of 100, there's no like team that's like a 95 plus, but they're mostly in the low 90s, most of these teams, maybe like high 80s, and they're a lot closer between each other. Milwaukee's still the cream of the crop, but they're like a 92, and last year they were like a 95.
I guess, but I still think that Philadelphia's team last year is better than Philadelphia's team this year.
I think they're better suited for the playoffs this year.
I disagree with that. I think Philadelphia probably would have made the finals last year if Toronto didn't exist, or they were actually able to get by Toronto.
Yo, Josh, you're on one tonight, man.
Yeah.
Like,
This
this is
anger has
so
made
wild.
this anger has led to reason.
Yeah, you have re effectively removed the championship from the Raptors twice in the past 3 minutes. What is going on with you?
No, I'm just saying Philadelphia was better last year. I mean, Jimmy Butler on that team, and they were just a defensive monster. They
Oh,
were
they were
so
definitely
big.
better. Yeah, they were definitely better.
I
But
mean, they could end up being better this year if they make a trade or two, but I think overall, in terms of starting lineup, especially the guys who've been playing the majority of the minutes, I think that last year's team was definitely better.
they should get Jimmy Butler back.
Trade back.
Yo, he's better on this team.
Than Miami?
Oh, I meant for Philly.
Okay.
Butler's definitely better for Philly than, Josh Richardson and Al Horford. Al Horford,
I don't
low
know.
key, hasn't performed too much.
But what I'm saying in terms of their team being better in the playoffs is I think Al Horford definitely makes them a more difficult team to match up with. Like, I think in the East, like, their size is like unmatched. And I think they're going to have better lineups because I think Richardson, although he was very ball dominant in Miami, I think he can play better off the ball than you can expect of Jimmy Butler, and you're not going to have that problem with two primary ball handlers. You're definitely going to miss the shooting of JJ Redick, but I still think this team in the playoffs is better suited to give teams more trouble.
I would agree with you if this was 2000. But when you have Joel Embiid, who needs to be in the post to do work, and then Ben Simmons, who's best either handling the rock or in the dunker spot, there's no spacing on this team, man. Like, last year's spacing was already bad, and it's gotten worse. It's incredible. Like, I was a full believer in Philly, but watching their games this year, their defense is amazing, but their offense, like, they cannot generate a shot.
I think that they should trade for Marco Bellinelli.
They should trade for Marcus Morris Sr.
That'd be a good fit. He's from Philly too, isn't he?
Is he really?
Yeah, I think the Morris brothers are from Philly. They got in trouble a couple of years ago. They had some legal problems. I think they fought some dudes in a club or something.
Man, this guy's always getting into trouble.
Very on brand.
Yeah. All right, now back to the Bucks. How far do you see them going?
Conference finals and out.
Against Philly?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
I picked Philly before the year started, I think, so I'm gonna stick with Philly.
Fair enough, fair enough. Pop quiz, who is their
Yeah.
oldest player on the Bucks right now?
Ilyasova?
No.
It's
Dude
probably
looks
somebody
old as hell.
random.
There's one real elder statesman.
Obviously, it's somebody who doesn't play that much.
LeBron draft class.
Oh, Kyle Korver.
Yeah. Now, the Bucks are paying four guys who are not on their roster anymore. We are going to test if you can figure out who those four guys are. Number one.
Is
I love these trivia games. The first
Paul
guy.
Gasol?
What? No. The first guy retired due to mental health issues.
Larry Sanders.
Remember how good Larry Sanders was back in the day?
Oh man, he had two seasons where he was like
Ooh.
an automatic 12-12 and like four blocks.
Yeah, he was like Andre Drummond, but good.
Yeah, he could actually play defense.
Yeah. This other one is a big white guy, very known as a Republican.
Spencer Hawes.
There you go. We're looking at another big man, another white guy. Like most generic looking white guy in the league ever.
Is he also Team MAGA?
I don't know. He's very quiet.
Mm.
He used to play for the Pistons, the Grizzlies. What else did he play for? I think that's it. The Pistons and the Grizzlies. He's with Phoenix for a bit, apparently.
He's a big white guy.
Yeah. Oh man. He's from Long Lake, Minnesota, and went to Wisconsin. Literally no nicknames on Basketball Reference. How about that?
Zero nicknames.
This is as generic as you can get out of a white guy.
I don't know. Maciek
My guy, John Luer, Josh.
Oh.
John Luer, how about that?
Is he still on the Pistons roster?
He was last year. I don't think he's signed to a team this year. This poor guy, not signed to a team. Waived by the Bucks this past summer.
Yeah, he was like your second favorite player behind Wilson Chandler before.
Yo, man, John Luer is a good player.
Yeah, clearly. I mean,
Yeah.
he's better than Melo, so.
Yo, the Blazers could use him. He's
Yeah, I mean, if you
basically.
replace Melo with him, they might actually win a couple games.
He's basically the same player as Zach Collins, man. Put Melo at the three, John Lura at the four. Yo, they're the same guy. Come on.
Major disrespect. Zach Collins is a good player.
Yeah, he
So
is.
is John Lura.
And young.
And our last guy. He is from Bosnia. Raj, this is for you.
Okay.
A little older. He's. Let me see. He was born in 85, so he's 34. Plays a 3-4, good shooter back in the day. He was with Brooklyn, Phoenix, and Milwaukee. Retired due to some
Brooklyn.
mental or due to some health issues, physical health issues.
So wait, how old is he? He's 34, you said?
34 now, yeah.
He's from
Yeah.
Bosnia.
Bosnia, not Boston. Came into the league late, though. He was kind of old when he came into the league.
Yusuf Nurkic Senior.
Ooh, good guess.
Nah. I know it's probably something that ends with an itch, but
Well done, well done. Mirza Teletovic.
Oh yeah, I remember that dude.
Yeah. He was also a good player, yeah. So the Bucks are still paying four guys that are no longer on the team. How about that? That's why they couldn't afford to play Malcolm Brogdon.
Good for those guys, getting that paycheck. Same with Josh Smith.
Is Josh Smith still getting paid?
I think this is his last year getting paid, what is it, 2 or 3 million? Because it got stretched out.
5.3.
God.
Oh no.
Yikes.
God damn it, Stan Van Gundy. Come on, man.
What happened with Mirza?
He had a blood clot, I think.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah,
either
so
that or
his.
a heart issue. It's one of the two.
Let me check. I'm sure people love this part. Why did
It
he
was
retire?
something very serious. I think it was either might have been like the same heart condition that Jeff Green had and LaMarcus that one year.
His heart was too big.
I guess so.
Sidelined further as a result of pulmonary emboli in both lungs.
Yeah, so you had clotting issues. The same Chris Bosh issue.
Ah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was it for him last March. Not even that long ago. Damn. All right, Raj, you're gonna be happy to hear that DeAndre Ayton can finally play basketball again.
Thank you.
Your fantasy
It's
team can
been
finally come back.
Yeah, it's been rough because, like, you're not going to drop your second overall pick just because you took steroids, are you? But no,
Sorry.
in all seriousness, like, I'm dying to see what he can do for my fantasy team and also for the Phoenix Suns. Obviously, Aron Baynes has been a very good player when he was plugged into that role, and Kaminsky has held his own as well. But I think just to have a consistent like center in there and someone who's gonna, I hope, average close to 20 and 10 on good percentages with an actual point guard that can set up the big man, is exciting. I think Ayton will help Phoenix, especially like when they face teams that they should be beating because they started off the season really hot, and I think over the last 10 they're like 5-5 if I'm not wrong. So I think Phoenix will definitely improve, and hopefully he'll bring some fantasy stats because I need him bad.
I find it pretty funny how some experts are saying that Aron Baynes is going to start when Ayton comes back. That doesn't make any sense. I mean,
That's
Aron
so
Baynes,
absurd.
he's a good player and they've had good numbers with him in the lineup and everything, but he can't play more than like 18 or 20 minutes without injuring himself. He's been injured the last month plus with these random injuries. Like his body just breaks down. It's the way he plays too. It's just he's flopping everywhere, flopping all
Yeah.
over the place.
Also, like the fact that Aiden actually took the steroids, like hopefully some of that had some residual effect and that it's not going to disappear after 25 games. So I'm really hoping that he puts up monster stats. And I agree. I think it's ridiculous to assume that Aiden's not going to be starting. I think he will be eased back into the role. Like, I don't think he's going to be first game back against the Clippers. He's going to be playing like 35 minutes. I see him playing more like 25 minutes or so and easing his way up to 30.
I love that you're just leaning into DeAndre Ayton being a steroid user.
Well, he hurt my team. And if you're going to do it, don't get caught. Ask the Patriots.
Right, then that's not salty at all. Can the Suns make the playoffs with Ayton back? Baynes going back to his bench role?
Absolutely. Why not? I mean, I still think that I've said it before. I think Sacramento is going to make the playoffs. And they've somehow come out of this stretch with, Bagley and Fox being out near 500. I think they're in the seventh seed right now. And Bagley just came back, and Fox is questionable for tomorrow. So they look like they're in pretty good shape, despite some of their very odd signings this offseason. But, they're going to be pretty mediocre for a while, but at least they'll make the playoffs, right?
It's because they got your favorite player, Harrison Barnes.
Man, what a waste of money.
Or Trevor Ariza.
Or Dwayne Dedman, who doesn't even play anymore.
Oh my goodness. Dwayne
Corey
Dedman, what a waste.
Joseph, who can't even score.
Oh my God. They literally have an all scrub lineup.
And
Complete
somehow they keep winning
disrespect.
games. All
Just
thanks to Rashawn Holmes, basically.
Rashawn Holmans and
yeah.
Buddy Hield. Jesus. Buddy Hield cannot miss a three, apparently. Nor can Bogdan Bogdanovic. These guys just won't miss a thing, man.
That's a big question for them, too, because Bogdan is going to be restricted, I believe. And they've spent so much money on these guys. And they're not going to be able to sign him for what he actually deserves. And I still think he's better than Buddy Hield, too. Like, he's going to go to a team and be like a playoff performer. Like, he's good.
He is very good. But they're going to have a lot of money off the books, won't they?
If they re-sign him, they're going to be like way over the tax. Because you also have to think about like Fox and Bagley coming up too.
Yeah.
Is Fox up this year? No, Fox has next year.
Oh my yeah, but God. If you have all those long-term contracts on your books, you got to think about, you know, next couple of years being the tax for like the next 4 or 5 years with a team that's mediocre.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. You're right. Damn, they paid Dwayne Dedman $13 million
to ride the bench.
For 3 years? Oh my God.
Woo. Yeah, and they paid Harrison Barnes $90 million, so yeah.
Oh, hold on, hold on. Harrison Barnes is paying off a lot more than Dwayne Dedman.
Yeah, it doesn't justify the contract.
Yeah, Harrison Barnes is getting minutes.
Yeah. And didn't they also sign Ariza for...
Ariza's like got a 2 year contract. Only $14 million guaranteed, though. So after this year, still, he's only like, got $1 million guaranteed. Which is fine. You can waive him at that point.
No, no. He's on a 2 year, $25 million contract.
I know, but next year, there's only 1.2 guaranteed.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So they're just going to end up like, waiving him next year.
Or yeah, but how many minutes is he averaging? Like 15
yeah, minutes probably, a game? At most.
Yeah.
Ugh. What a mess that team is. But they're doing well somehow.
Bojan Bogdanovic or Bogdan Bogdanovic, a better player?
Bogdan.
Huh.
What?
I really like Bojan's game, though, so.
Wait, what?
I like Bojan's game.
Not Bogdan's?
No, not Bogdan's. Well, I'm not disrespecting him. I just think that Boyan's game's nicer, in my opinion. But
really?
Yeah, it's just my taste, I guess.
Wow. You just like older guys, eh?
Maybe.
I wonder if a team full of itches would make it really far in the playoffs.
Yes. Hold on. Think about it logically. You, assuming all healthy, obviously, you have Nurkic and Jokic at the 5 and 4. Like, that alone is already beast. Bogdan at the 1.
Bojan.
Bojan at the 3.
At the 3.
I'm out of itches.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot out there we're not thinking of.
Yeah, we're drawing blanks here.
Oh, man, this is...
Then you have Boban in the backup.
Yo, man, that scrub ain't gonna play.
How about that? You gotta get his Boban, man. That guy's productive. Yo, in Hollywood and on the court.
He's just an internet darling. That's all I'm saying.
He's fantastic.
Great. Do your thing. Just he knows that he's an internet darling and everyone else should too.
Nobody can stop the Boban.
You could have
Rick Carlisle can.
That's true. He's the only guy.
True. Oh, yeah. Put Saric at the 3 and then Bojan Bogdanovic at the 2. Bang.
Yeah.
Got a starting five of itches right there. And then you have Vucevic off the bench.
Whew. Oof.
Yeah, man. That's a real team right there. Six-man lineup.
A lot of itches, but no bitches.
I'm sure they get lots of bitches. Have you seen Yusuf Nurkic's hair? Too. Ooh. The guy's getting them everywhere. Oh, man. Yo, do you think that Utah is struggling this year because they let go of Rubio? Because Rubio, last year, whenever anyone was in a rut, would figure out a way to get Gobert involved, which would obviously just propel the offense a bit more.
I just think it's more so just a matter of them needing to gel. I mean, with Rubio, there's a ceiling because, you know, he's obviously not much of a shooter. He's great. But he's a really good player. It's just he can't shoot. So come playoff time, you can just play off him.
Yeah.
But I think this team will be fine. Everyone's overreacting what Utah's doing right now. They've had a tough schedule. They'll figure it out. They'll be the 3 seed or the 4 seed come playoff time. They'll have a good opportunity to improve and maybe win a couple rounds this year.
4 seed? 3 seed?
Why not? They got an easy schedule coming up. They always do. Like the first 2 months of the seasons are always like really difficult for Utah, and then they have a cupcake schedule, and then you see they're like 26-4 over the next 30 games. Happens every year, but yeah. The last 2 years anyway.
That's true. But they still need
a trade, though, like a lot of teams, though.
Yes. They could use some work. They could use Gallinari.
They could use Marcus Morris Sr.
Oh, yeah. Marcus Morris, man. I'm really excited to see where he goes. I hope he gets out of New York. That place is a shithole.
Imagine if New York doesn't trade any of these guys they signed in the offseason because they said they were going to, you know, get value for them. Like, that would be awful. But that's the Knicks for you. So they're probably not going to trade any of these guys. They'll probably just waive them.
I wish they actually hired Mike Miller as their coach. Like, real Mike Miller, not G League coach Mike Miller. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think at least, you know, 80% of Knicks fans actually thought it was the real Mike Miller.
I thought it was when I saw the tweet. Didn't you?
No, I knew that he was from the G League.
I definitely thought it was old Mike Miller. And I was like, oh my god, I gotta watch Knicks games again. Nope. No, I do not. Alright, I think that's all the time we have for this week. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Anchor, all the major podcast platforms. Hit us up on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.